So after I've welcomed you to this webinar, I'll want to just go into slide number three and start with it. So today, what we're actually going to talk about is, do customer reviews really matter? And we have a blog post which relates to this, which talks about the BP oil spill. And if in cases like this, in a crisis like that, or the Toyota crisis a couple of months back, social media really makes a difference, or if it's for the birds. And that's kind of the focus today. And of course, again, I want to put the emphasis of this whole thing on long-term effects. So it may have a negative or positive effect short term, but does it matter 12 months down the road? Of course, that's a risky thing to say about the BP oil spill. It surely will matter 12 months down the road when we consider wildlife. But if we consider business, I'm not totally sure. So this brings me to the first slide, number four. This is kind of a review of what we've talked about. So we have talked about several things about social media, including Twitter and how cross-media campaigns between Facebook and printed media can fail, and if you have to be careful about how Twitter works. This webinar relates to the previous ones insofar as it tries to focus on if engagement and talking to people really makes any kind of a difference, or not. So here is slide number five, customer reviews. As we all know, with Amazon, customer reviews, Amazon was one of the first ones, besides eBay actually came later, that used customer reviews very effectively regarding books. Of course, at the time when Amazon started, it was just about books. Today, Amazon seems to be selling everything and anything. So people reviewed the books, and then there was a recommendation system whereby what your friends read or what your friends thought was good, it popped up on your page, and you could actually see. And Amazon, of course, thought and showed with its bottom line that this seemed to affect sales positively. But there's two or three things. If a firm poses as an individual and trashes a competitor or a competitive book, then this is usually considered to be a criminal offense under consumer protection laws. If the individual spreads false information, she could be liable for defamation. So the question then comes up, well, if I just say something about a Sony camera and that I had a hard time yesterday during the game in South Africa to take pictures because the instructions were confusing and the shutter didn't work properly, is that defamation or is that not defamation? And the way the laws currently work, for instance, in Germany or in the US, you can take people to court and then first see how it happens. So I'll talk a little bit on the next slide about this particular issue. So here we have an example from Facebook, and I thought this was quite interesting because it's about Kalamazoo TJ Towing. There's actually a video which you can watch on the blog post, which explains a little bit what happened to this student. So, to make a long story short, it's this towing issue which seems to be an issue in the US and Canada since I remember. I think since I was born. Because towing is handled when you park wrong in North America, a company comes and tows your car. And the more cars it tows, the more money it makes. And it doesn't, like in Switzerland or in Germany, show up when the police calls it and says, tow this car. It actually just drives around, and if you parked illegally, they just tow you. And so this Kalamazoo TMJ Towing actually has a tendency of towing cars even though they have a parking sticker on it, meaning they're allowed to park wherever they're parked. So this student parked in front of his dorm and had the parking sticker on there, so he was allowed to park there, and they towed his car and it cost him $200 or $300 for the towing. And apparently this company does it over and over. So the guy, the student, goes out and makes a Facebook fan page. And he has relatively, within a short time, 13,000 fans. Some of them all over from the country saying it's very similar where we are or supporting him. But a lot of people from the Kalamazoo area mentioning the same problems with this TNJ towing. What then the TNJ towing did, it sort of brought forward a strategic lawsuit against public participation, or what's called SLAPs. They sued the guy for $750,000 in damages. And so here the issue is kind of what the court will have to determine is this defamation? Because the company claims it's bad for business. But actually what then the tape on the blog post shows is that the Better Business Bureau, that's a bureau by the city, has thousands of complaints about this company. So it's very well known in Kalamazoo that TNJ towing is a problem. In Germany, this would work a little bit different. You get a cease and desist or consent decree, which then also brings you to the court. What then happens is a cease and desist order, or the Abmahnung, means you have to stop whatever you're doing. If the court finds that you're wrong and you have to stop doing whatever you did before, you have to pay the other person's lawyer's fees. But you don't have, like in the US case with this Kalamazoo, maybe also to pay for damages. But it's a similar thing, and we actually have the first case in Germany already from the Frankfurt area. And there's a link in the blog post which tells you where you can get the court order. It's in German. But the SLAPs, as they're called in the US, is a serious problem, and California is trying to actually change the laws. Again, California seems to be a little bit ahead of everybody else, trying to change the law so that, because people are concerned in the US that what may happen is that consumers are so afraid of being sued, they no longer are willing to write a bad review or a negative review, okay? And right, Deborah. They Deborah's asking the question in the chat box. Did they sue the student? Yes, they did sue the student for putting up this Facebook fan page. Yeah, and because they claim it caused them damage, which is of course true, that it causes them damages. But what he did is he just invited people to say, has this ever happened to you also? And this is what happened to me, that then hundreds of people come out of the woods saying the same has happened to me, I got towed and it was unjustified. That's of course the result. But it's also, to put it on the other side, is to say, of course, this is also a very good illustration that a Facebook fan page or a social media campaign can put a small business out of business. This might not damage Procter & Gamble with its, I think they had some diaper problems, I can't remember, 3 months ago, and there was a social media campaign, and then they had to invite blogging mummies to talk about it and to fix the problem. It cost them $250,000 with travel expenses and all kinds of other things. But of course, Procter & Gamble can pay for that. Okay? If you have Pampers and other brands, it's not going to affect you. But if this is done for a small business, it's a serious problem for your business. So, well, the student, Stan, I mean, of course the student didn't sue the firm because the student didn't have the money. And, you know, if you have 300, he could have gone to what is called in the US the small claims court, because it's under $1,000. Now, I don't know if in Michigan it's the same as it is in California, but if it's under $1,000, you can probably go to the small claims court. But it probably wasn't worth the trouble. And that's what a towing company usually goes on. You know, it ain't, because it ain't worth the trouble. It's painful, costs $200 or whatever the fee we get. But it's not painful enough that the people will go to the trouble to go to court. So, but yeah. Of course it's stupid. It's a stupid business strategy, because you can do this 10,000 times and then suddenly one time a person comes and says, that's enough, okay, and takes you to court. And in a way what he did is he said, that's enough. Instead of going to court, I put it up on Facebook and let's see what happens. And actually, it has been like an avalanche, okay? Because it has been on local TV, it has been on CNN US News, it has been in New York Times, it has been everywhere. It's a big issue because it's one of the first time that this has happened. So I think this hurt the company. But unless, of course, the regulation changes, that these companies can no longer just tow cars without having been asked to tow them by the owner of the property or by the police, this problem will persist. But I just use it as an example. So here's Facebook doing it. Now if we go to slide number 7, we have this Nestle versus Greenpeace. Emotion is what counts. If you remember, we had this discussion on the Xing group about the Kit Kat. If you've seen the commercial, which we also given you the link, there's this guy who eats a Kit Kat at the office, and actually the blood spills out from the Kit Kat, comes down his face. It's really gruesome. And actually, Mr. Brabeck Lemante said something on the phone. He said, you know, it's a very good commercial. What actually Greenpeace and NGOs and others have learned, they have learned to work with emotions. So in the past, we've had these huge agencies who've worked with emotions for the brands, and now we have activists like Greenpeace or Médecins Sans Frontières, which use these kind of, which play with emotions. So when then, and this is kind of important because, you know, I have 3 points here. It takes 1.5 liter of water is needed to get 1 liter of bottled water. This is a big issue because Nestle is being hampered in Oakland, California, for having built a plant and taking water. And people are worried that Nestle is taking too much water. But it takes 3 liters of water to produce a liter of Coca-Cola, and it takes 6 to 7 liters to create a Budweiser beer. So actually what we should do is not drink beer and refrain from drinking Coca-Cola because it's a waste of water. But such arguments don't really count because if you have an emotional battle going on, people are not rational. Mr. Brabeck also pointed out in this telephone conversation that he, the food industry, that includes Unilever, Kraft Foods and everybody else, uses about 0.7% of the world production of palm trees. But the biggest culprit of cutting down palm trees is actually the biofuel program which the EU is sponsoring. That is actually quite shocking to me. Because we think we're doing great in Europe by asking for biofuels. Of course, I find it schizophrenic to use food to produce oil to drive our cars. But it's probably beside the point. But what the Nestle versus Greenpeace campaign shows very clearly, if you use emotions, it's very hard to come back with rational arguments to make your point. The people, the public, will not listen. Okay, so you have to do it another way, which also means Nestle should not have fallen asleep on the steering wheel when this happened over a weekend. And Greenpeace, of course, was smart. They started it on a Friday night when they knew the people from Nestle, the Facebook page was managed in the US, they're going home. And they're not looking till Monday. So all, H-E-L-L, excuse my French, all hell broke loose on Saturday and Sunday. And the Nestle people didn't really respond. They didn't engage. They didn't really try to get their point across. So they lost the battle kind of before it started. And then coming back with these rational arguments apparently doesn't go. We all talk about consumers not being rational, being emotional. Look at Apple and buying Apple products. But we tend to forget when it affects ourselves. When we get attacked, we try to come back with rational arguments. Doesn't fly. This brings me to another case about book reviews on slide number 8. I don't know if you know about this, but this was a big fuss in the UK about 3 weeks ago. Orlando Figes, he's from Birkbeck College from London University, which is actually a famous college. He's a famous Russian historian, he was found out of having criticized his competitors' books, Robert Service and Rachel Polonsky, that he wrote that their books are bad. I actually, on the blog post, have a link to this. He wrote some really bad stuff, which was bordering on defamation. And he actually got found out. He didn't even really try to cover his tracks. He now may lose his job. But he did it under a pseudonym, and he tried to get away with it, but he didn't. I'm not sure how much it affected sales of Robert Service's book and Rachel Polonsky's book about Russia, but it surely got media attention, because he was actually he was being an imposter. He tried to portray that he was somebody else, a neutral third party, and he was doing this kind of review. A very sad example. If we look at the next slide, number 9, which brings me to the conclusion. On the upper right, you see this little thing about BP. We have currently going a real fight going on with this. BP thing, because it's a huge damage, of course, and there's a petition and all kinds of things. You have a link there, so when you get the email tomorrow from us with all the links, you can download the slides and you can go and look at these things. So in conclusion, we can say when it comes about products and when it comes about reviews, it generally boils down to price, quality, convenience, and everything. So if the price to quality ratio and the interface is okay for you, you tend to buy the product. So if I give you an example, like my Oki printer, I didn't really go out and read the reviews about my Oki printer, which we have in the office. It's kind of a thing which costs $1,800 or $1,900. So I find it relatively expensive. I'm kind of these ignorant people who think printers are not important, but computers are. Of course, that's incorrect, but I listened to my partner, and he said, look, I mean, in our other business, we have this Oki thing. It has worked for a year. It's actually quite great, and I'll tell you why it's great. When you have used up the cartridges, you can send back the cartridges to Oki, and they will do the recycling for you, and apparently this stuff is very toxic. And then the other thing is, in contrast to HP and some other print manufacturers, it doesn't have a counter. It doesn't have a computer chip, which it counts the pages, but it's not set the way that after 5,000 pages, like with HP, it stops printing and you can't print one page more. It counts and tells you that you should get in a new print cartridge. But you can shake it, you can do all kinds of things, and you can probably get out of it another 400 or 500 pages. So in the long term, it's also cheaper. Plus, you get 3 years of online service, no fees charged. And last week, we had to submit a tender for a contract. And within 24 hours, they came and did some repairs, which would have cost me $250. And it didn't pay anything. So that's a kind of... how this was a kind of a review, but it's a kind of a peer, a friend, an associate telling me. I didn't read it on the internet. So my question kind of is, how much difference do these reviews on the internet make? They might make a difference about a book, because a book is, yeah, I liked it because this was the storyline. I liked this movie because this was the storyline. We have this other example with Sex and the City 2, the sequel, the movie, which is this show which also is it's also running as reruns in Europe. And there we can see very many negative reviews, but it's a kind of a show that goes with the zeitgeist, and the fans for Sex and the City, they don't care. They go to the movie theater, they want to watch, okay? It's like an outing, it's like an outing for women, I'm told. And when that happens, people don't care. So So the next one, the Apple iPhone. I'm not totally sure if people there were rational, because if you look at the features versus price ratio, all the reviews are saying the Apple iPhone is overpriced, and there are equivalents with the Android operating system which give you more bang for the buck. They give you more value for your money. But that doesn't seem to stop people from buying the iPhone. It doesn't seem to stop people to buy the iPod. I've tested an iPod and an iPad, and I hated it because there's no keyboard. You can only use the fingers, and it's actually quite cumbersome. I felt like a six-year-old, like my son, trying to make sense out of this thing and trying to move it with my fingers. That's something we have to live with it. So some people also argue that how people buy the purchase, or how people purchase a product, is it for an emotional reason? Is it online versus is it that they got advised in a store by the salesperson why they should buy it? I remember myself, I went in Hamburg to a store to wanting to buy a TV. It's something very simple. And I don't know how it goes for you, but if I go to one of these big stores, and this was a very big store, I'm a little bit overwhelmed. So I started to play dumb. I went to the guy who worked in there, and I said, look, I want this kind of TV, this kind of thing, and I don't know what to choose between those five. Now, if you were in my shoes, how would you go about choosing? And then he started to tell me why, and at the end, I didn't end up buying a Sony, because I bought something else, which, according to him, was cheaper, more features, and the warranty record was better, according to the complaints the store had gotten. So, and by the way, this TV is now 10 years old or 11 years old, and touch wood, it's still running very nicely. Thank you very much. So there was no problem. But if I buy it this way, I'm gonna respond to reviews online differently than if I buy it online. That's kind of my message on this thing. So this brings me to kind of the wrap up. The slides, you know where to get them. You can get in touch with me. You have had this link for a while, but most of you know how to get in touch with me anyway. There are the upcoming webinars. Next week we have turning metrics into dollars. I mean, how can you actually make money from this, that it affects your bottom line? And on the 30th of June we have one about, is privacy a thing of the past? There's more infos about upcoming webinars on slide number 14, so you can see that. We're just about up to 24 minutes on this presentation, but I mean, the question now is, I can't see in the chat box anything which I have to respond to. Yes, I mean, ethics doesn't always play a role. Ethics doesn't always play a role with reviews. Unfortunately, people are not. I have a tweet in the presentation slides, you know, about goodie bags. I'm not even sure anymore if I can trust journalists with their reviews. If they review all the time, I no longer believe that they really have enough time to really test the product and use the product. For instance, if I write a product review, I probably have used the product for at least 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And like Consumer Reports, which is a magazine in the US, and what I like about them is that they go out and buy all these cars and then they test them. The car dealer doesn't even know that it was Consumer Reports which bought this particular car, which makes sure that he can't do things which he wouldn't do with normal customers. And this is kind of the same. If I buy a printer and I write a review online about it, it's, I've bought it, I've paid for it, I'm independent, and this is based on my experience. I find that relatively, there's little problem here about ethical things. I'm not gonna put in the link because here in the window, because I don't have it handy right now, and I can't copy it from the slide, but you will get the link tomorrow morning when you get the email from the system if you signed up with our system. And for Pete, we're going to do this in another way as we discussed beforehand. So Pete will get them as well. So by tomorrow morning, you have them. I would also appreciate then if you go back to the to those links and maybe write a comment how you thought the webinar went. And on this note, unless there is anything more, I would like to conclude this 12th, session 12 about the Commetrics radio show. I wish you a very productive day. And if there's nothing much more to say, I will just stop right here. Thank you very much and have a good day.